What do you get when you have one voiceover girl?
Oh, and me. That makes two voiceover girls.
Okay, when you have two voiceover girls, separated by one pond and two perspectives.
I know. You get the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
That's right. Let's listen as Rami and Jessica share their journey into the voiceover industry.
Hi, and welcome to the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. I'm Rami Santosh.
Hi, I'm Jessica Matheson. Today's episode is our very first podcast episode, and we are going to introduce ourselves, talk about what this podcast is all about, and what we plan to include. Hey, Rami, why did we choose the name Voiceover Girls Across the Pond?
Well, we're both voiceover artists. So, Jessica, why did we include the word girls in the title?
Well, you know, we're both girls, so it seemed to work. How about Across the Pond? Why'd we choose that?
Well, because we are across the pond, as I'm in the UK and you're in the US. Let's talk about ourselves. I started my voiceover training about 18 months ago. I'd actually had a passion for voiceover for many years. It really started when I used to love watching documentaries and I'd connect to the voiceover behind the visuals. Or, for example, when I stand at a train station, I'll start listening to the voice over the tannoy and forget to sort of go to whichever platform I need to because I'm so hooked to the voice. So it's like I love listening to voices. But I never really thought about it as a career for myself because they don't really tell you these things at school. Didn't get any careers advice around this industry at that time, but that was a long time ago when I was at school. So maybe they do now. Who knows? So yeah, it was about 18 months ago. I got guided into voiceover, to be honest, and there is a story behind that, but I'm not going to go into that for now. I'll spare you the details. So I started looking around, started Googling for training and so on, and I came across the City Lit, which is an adult college which does a huge amount of courses in all different subject areas. And they also have a speech and drama department where they do voiceover courses as well, which is fantastic. So as soon as I came across that, I immediately enrolled. And it was brilliant. I absolutely loved the course. I really enjoyed having the hands-on experience of being in a booth. And I met some lovely aspiring voiceover artists like myself who are great. And that really got me interested. And I thought, yes, I really want to carry on. But then lockdown happened about a year ago in March, which obviously changed everything. So I had to start looking around for online courses to be able to continue the training because I thought, this is it. I'm going to immerse myself in the training while I'm at home and I have the time. So I found various different providers such as Gravy for the Brain or the VoiceOver Network and lots of other providers. And I just lapped up the information. I loved it. And, you know, that's where we met as well. We met through Gravy. So what's your story?
Really similar story. I'm like you in that I kind of got into this about 18 months ago myself. It was sort of trying to figure out maybe making a little extra income. So I have a small business and my small business has seasonality to it. And so the thought was, I've got to find something to, you know, do in the slow season. And I was sitting here trying to figure out like what I was going to do or whatever that wouldn't take away from my small business when I needed to run it. And one day I had to take my son to another town to pick up a rental car. And he was listening to an audiobook and said, "Hey, Mom, you should listen to this. This is a really cool audiobook." And I was like, "Hey, I like audiobooks. I like to read. Ooh, I could do that, you know?" So immediately I start Googling around on my phone instead of listening to the audiobook like I probably should have. And I ended up finding a little free course online about how to get into audiobooks through ACX, which is Amazon's platform for audiobook production that goes to Audible, their other company. I did that for a little while, you know, got myself set up. And then I ended up realizing that I wanted to try to get more narrator roles, but there were a lot of accents that were required that I didn't know how to do. And so I started looking around to see how I could learn to do other accents. And Gravy for the Brain was one of those things that popped up with a Google search. So I listened to their intro kind of thing. I actually thought that I was scheduled for like a live presentation via Zoom. And so I was listening to this and I was putting questions in the chat and they weren't getting answered. And I got kind of frustrated. So I contacted like the help desk and they were like, "Yeah, so it's not live." I was like, "Oh, right. So never mind." And I ended up being so impressed with what I was hearing as far as like what they had to offer that they offered a free month for the first month that I went in and I did my trial month. And I was just blown away by how much there was in Gravy for the Brain. It was an entire education. It's like an online college for voiceover. And so I started listening to some of the webinars and watching them and reading some of the blogs and things. And about that time, it was lockdown due to, you know, COVID. Everything shut down for me. Everything shut down for me for the majority of this last year. And so I was able to really focus on voiceover. I was kind of like you, where I lapped up every little bit of information. It actually got to the point of information overload at times where I had to try to organize my thoughts. But yeah, that's kind of where I started. So Rami, did you find in your journey in getting started and learning all of this stuff, did you find that there were some new skills that you had to learn that you didn't have before?
Oh, absolutely. When I started exploring voiceover last year, I assumed I would just go into a studio, record a script, and come home, and of course be paid, the best bit. I had no idea what was actually going to be involved. And I think obviously the shift has taken place in the voiceover industry because of the lockdown and the shift to working from home and having to set up your own studio. So that was a big surprise and a huge learning curve in understanding how to set up your own space to record and learning all the skills. So understanding noise and space and acoustics, noise floor, everything like that. So, you know, obviously we took lots of advice from sound engineers in order to be able to set up a good sounding studio. So there's lots and lots of learning around that, something that was completely new to me. I felt like I was in a new dimension understanding sound. Along with that, I had to learn the technical skills of working with sound editing software and how to edit and so on and how to record properly. So another sort of set of skills, really, another lot of knowledge. I mean, it was all good stuff. You know, I feel so much better for it now, having that understanding. But certainly it was a very steep and sometimes very frustrating curve.
Yeah.
And what about yourself? Did you have new skills to learn last year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had to pick up an entire new skill set that I didn't from scratch, you know, like I can apply some of this business stuff to the business part of voiceover and all of that. But had I ever thought before about doing voiceover? No. So I didn't really understand recording or editing or post-production or any of that stuff. I am not super technically savvy. I have just enough knowledge to either do a really great job or really mess it up. And I always say Murphy lives at my house. You know, Murphy's Law, if anything will go wrong, it
will do.
If anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. Yeah, that's my house. And so I was like, oh, golly. Okay. So I, you know, kind of buckled down and learned, you know, how to use the software and figured out how to treat the space. And oh my goodness. I mean, yeah, it's crazy what kind of things are noisy that you have no idea are noisy because you just don't think about them. But put yourself through an interface and a microphone and have a headset on and listen, you find all of the noises and the stupidest things. I mean, well, here's an example. There was a job that I was recording and I kept getting this like scratchy sound. And I was like, what is this scratchy sound? And I'm thinking, oh, maybe there's something with the cord. Maybe the cord, you know, is, I need to make sure that the cord is not messed up or make sure it's all the way plugged in, thinking maybe it was a staticky sound. No, it wasn't. What it was is I was trying to emote in my booth and I had a graphic t-shirt on and a screen printed graphic t-shirt. And every time I would move my arm would move across the graphic and make noise. So, but I did a whole lot of troubleshooting before I figured out it was just me moving in my booth and being noisy about it.
Your t-shirt was noisy.
Yes.
I mean, I know it's
t-shirt
so annoying.
It's all the t-shirt's fault.
Yeah, exactly. Just blame the t-shirt.
That's,
I mean,
totally,
oh God, yeah, I can hear the birds chirping outside. I get the raindrops on the windowsill. It's like, oh, noise, you know, becoming neurotic.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like when my kids were little and don't wake the baby, shut up, you know, that sort of thing where you want to get 2 minutes of peace. And so if anybody comes in and they wake the baby, they're just dead.
Oh dear. And how was it for you in terms of setting up your space and learning the software and stuff like that? Was that easy or did that come to you?
Well, yeah, with the learning, the setting up the space wasn't too bad initially. Well, I kind of did it on the cheap, you know, where I ended up getting
Tell them that.
Well, at first I've upgraded since, but like my initial setup was just a little corner of a room. And I put some old ceiling tile, acoustic tiles on the walls, and I put some comforters or duvet covers and some moving blankets and that sort of thing. But I was kind of at the front of the building, and I live right on a highway. And so there was a lot of trucks. Like, effing trucks is in my vocabulary and in a lot of my outtakes, but I've the full heard. Word. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you might even get it in our sound here. Like if we're talking and somebody decides to use their Jake brake as they come around the curve, then yeah, you're going to hear it.
It will be part of our episode.
It will be. It will be like, this is the reality of VO.
Yeah,
so definitely. Yeah, probably treating my space was more about trying to keep all the sounds out. And then like I spent, you know, a full day troubleshooting when I actually got a new desk one time. Because I had all of this reflection that I had never had before and I couldn't figure it out. So, I mean, rip down stuff, put it back up, move things around, like just trying to troubleshoot. And then the microphone position ended up being what it was. So normally I had it kind of shotgun style where it was facing my mouth. So with the new desk, it was actually bouncing everything. I just had to, you know, loosen the little screw and put the mic in a different position and ta-da, no reflection, but not until after I had torn my booth apart like two or three times.
You sound dangerous.
Yes. Yes. I mean, why wouldn't you go for the simple thing? No, no, no. Remember I said Murphy lives here? Yeah, Murphy lives here.
Oh, dear. I think it's like you need to move out into a desert when you want to do voiceover.
Right? No kidding.
Make sure
oh,
you have,
my gosh.
Don't have anyone within a 100-mile radius. So
you could have like one of those padded rooms that they have at the hospital. I mean, it could do like double duty, like it's totally quiet. And when you lose your damn mind, you're already set.
Mm. Great. So definitely a huge learning curve to set up and everything. And as I said, frustrating at times. But for me, I would say there's also been lots of positives as well in mm-hmm. this whole thing. And the positives have certainly been meeting lots of other voiceover artists from across the world. So you feel like I've met this whole new industry that I had no idea existed. Mm-hmm. You know, just like being in a new dimension, as I said before, no idea that it was there. And, you know, in the industry, everyone has been so supportive and helpful. And I just find that mm-hmm. amazing. You'd expect it to be cutthroat and horrible. Yep. And yet people are just so lovely and willing to help and share. I just find it amazing. What about you, Jessica? Did you find that?
Yeah, same thing. I was really surprised. I expected, since this is sort of like entertainment industry, well, at least that's what I thought. I mean, there's way more to it than that. But like at first I was thinking in my head that, you know, we'd be dealing with, you know, actors and actresses and all of the drama that you know, hear about going with it. And like you said, like kind of the cutthroat, like, I'm going to compete like really crazy with you and I'm going to be rude about it. You know, I was not expecting like this nice, inclusive, helpful community that it turned out to be. I mean, everybody is really good about, you know, referring people if they can't do something or if they feel like they're maybe not the best fit or whatever, or they'll refer around, or people are happy for each other. Whenever I was in a Zoom session one time where there were two gentlemen who had gone for the same role and didn't realize it until they started talking about it in the session, they had ended up both auditioning for the role and both of them were like, yeah, I think I landed that. And of course, only one of them had landed it. And so the guy who hadn't gotten the gig was like, oh my God, that's so awesome for you. I'm so glad you got, I mean, I'm bummed that I didn't get it, but wow, good for you. Awesome. You know, and really super supportive and not like, oh, well, that's nice. You got that. Whatever. You know, it wasn't that sort of attitude.
Wow. That's so nice. Such a lovely example, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So where would you say you are in your voiceover journey right now?
Well, I think I am like, well, gosh, what would it be? I'm a newbie, but not? Because I feel like there's a lot more that I need to do to be able to say that I'm that next level, right? I need to get like more clients, and I feel like I want to get more experience under my belt, you know, but so I'm like, what, newbie 2.0? I don't know. Newbie level one, newbie level two. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like newbie plus. There we go. Whatever.
Oh, that sounds cool.
So I started out with narrating audiobooks on ACX. And then I branched out from there and began to join pay-to-play casting sites. So pay-to-play online casting site just basically means that you pay a monthly fee to have access to casting calls, and you can audition for them along with a lot of other people. So I got on some of those, although I'm going to start kind of weeding them out. I've got several of them that I'm on, and I'm figuring out which ones are actually like a good return on my investment, which ones aren't. And whenever those come up for renewal, I won't renew them. And then I'll just stick with that, with what works. I also joined some Facebook groups, and I actually found a couple of opportunities through social media. And I, in the last 6 months, maybe, I was signed to an agency. And so I get some work there. And then the thing that I really, really, really need to do is market. I am not sure what my problem is. It's super funny because I come from a business background. I chose to study business in college, and I had options of different tracks of business. And I chose marketing. So for me to be scared of marketing is like, Jess, what the hell's your problem?
It's because you're the product. You're selling your service.
Yes, it's so different. Yeah, you're the product. Like, I was learning marketing, like, I'm going to be in this marketing agency that's going to do this big campaign for this big company and da 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 da. But what it is, you are the product, you are selling your services. And that feels a whole lot different than selling someone else's product. So yeah, I just got to get over myself. But so now, you know, I'm doing, you know, so I'm still doing audiobooks. I'm doing some e-learning. I'm doing some commercials. I've done a couple of little animation pieces.
Oh, sounds good. Nice.
Yeah. How about you? Where's your journey?
Well, got my broadcast quality studio set up, and I'm just going to emphasize the word broadcast. I'm so proud of that. And I created my website last year, and that was another new skill. Like you said, you know, you become a business. When you become a voiceover artist, you're actually a business. And I suppose that's the thing that I had to get my head around. I'm a business, and it's a very new thing, a new feeling of I've got to do so many things. It's not just about recording scripts, you know? It's about you have to market yourself, like you said, and that's hard. Having that confidence to say, here I am, and reaching out and finding novel and new ways, because it is a very competitive industry that we're in. So I had to do all these other things as well, in addition to setting up the studio, etc. So setting up a website, everyone said, you've got to have that. That's key. That's essential. No, I didn't have a budget to pay somebody else. So I thought, right, I'm going to do it myself. So learning the skills. I mean, I love the creative side of it. That was fabulous. But technically as well, just getting it done was a bit of a pain. But I'm glad that I've done that and I've got over that. And then getting some voice reels recorded to put onto the website and be able to send out samples. So that was essential. And of course, we're going to talk a lot more about that later on.
Yep.
And it's been good. I've just really probably would say I was ready to start and call myself a voiceover artist and offer my services beginning of this year. So sort of January, I've had little bits of work, which has been absolutely lovely. So quite a few voicemail messages and IVR scripts that I've recorded for different companies, which is fantastic. And some medical learning. So there's a company that does medical e-learning. So I just love that because that's a niche that I want to get into because I've got the science background and I like long words. So
nice.
I like that. And can't wait for to be sent the videos so I can put them on my website and show them off to everyone. So that's that. And now I'm doing a few bits of e-learning. So that's nice as well. So yeah, and we're doing this podcast, of course.
Yes. I know, something I never thought I'd do.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't even know what one was until last year. So there you go. You know, huge amounts of learning in my old age.
It's amazing what you
can
learn.
In my old age.
I know. Oh my gosh. I know. Well, you mentioned the thing about like the website and having to learn to do the website. And yeah. I made my own website as well. And I find it funny, like my kids, okay, so my kids are 24 and 18, but when my oldest was in junior high, in junior high, we're talking seventh grade, that's like what, 12, 13 years old, they were learning how to make websites.
Mm.
And I'm over here just like, okay, I can do this. So us old fogies are at a disadvantage compared to young newbies.
I mean, it's just automatic. They know how all these bits of software and technical stuff, whereas us, we're just like dangerous with all this, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Give me some kind of technology, some kind of piece of software, and I guarantee I will screw it all up for you.
You know what?
Not really. That's not good marketing. No, I'll do a good job, but I will. You won't see what I have to do behind the scenes.
Behind this, exactly. We cover up our mistakes really well, don't we, Jessica?
Yes.
We need to have.
I will re-record until I get it right. Just listen to my outtakes on Facebook, and you'll see that.
Yeah.
Or hear that.
A competition to see who can do the worst.
Oh yeah, let's do that. That sounds fun. The prize for the best worst.
Oh dear. I feel like I've made a start.
Hey, shameless plug. We'll be covering When You're a Pro in another episode. So, you know, like and subscribe.
Yeah. So what's your plan in moving forward in terms of going further with the career and really developing it?
Well, I feel like in voiceover, you have to kind of take the old adage, cliche, whatever you want to call it, of don't put all your eggs in one basket to heart. You can't expect to do one type of thing and be consistently working, I don't think, unless you're one of the lucky ones, right? And so you have to have sort of a balance, right? Because you don't want to over diversify so that you're not really doing well at anything. You want to do well at some things. Like you want to get really good at what you do and not be just kind of mediocre at all these different things that you can do. So, and then, you know, you don't want to spread yourself too thin as far as like how you're auditioning and that sort of thing. So I'm going to weed out some of the pay to plays that I've tried and, you know, stick with maybe just a couple of them that are actually giving me a good return on investment. I will also continue to be on the Facebook groups and things like that, where sometimes people put out casting calls. I will network with people locally. I actually have already kind of started doing some of that for some of the local people who just really don't have any idea what voiceover is. And they don't realize that they're using it. So kind of educating and then, you know, asking for business. And then, of course, there's all of the marketing that you'll do through your email and that sort of thing. I plan on doing that as well, coming up with a good marketing plan and put my templates together and that sort of thing so that I can make sure that I have a consistent message and sound and that sort of thing, but not be like robotic or anything. And then social media marketing, not just Facebook, LinkedIn is a really great place to hook up with people who need voiceover. So I definitely am going to work on that as well. How about you?
That sounds brilliant. I totally agree with you. Not having all your eggs in one basket. Absolutely. So I also plan to try different routes to developing my career and finding voiceover work. So for me, I'd like to optimize my website. So everyone in the world looks at that, go through that process of SEOing it and so on. And using social media. So understanding how to use LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter or whatever. I mean, I didn't have to until now. Previous job, I was lucky. I got work through word of mouth. So I didn't need any of these things. They were absent in my life because there was just no need for them. So really understanding how I can be effective and optimize the use of these platforms. And again, local networking, like you said, just getting out there and telling people, local people, how you can offer your help to them as a voiceover artist. I actually have spoken to lots of people and they say to me, oh, we've never met a voiceover artist before. And it's quite interesting. It's like, oh, okay, well, this is what I do. This is how I could help you. So it's interesting that people don't know what you do and people don't know what voiceover is.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. It's all around you.
I know.
Everywhere. And yet people don't realize that people do the voiceover. It's
right. I know. I've run into that too. Like when people, you know, get into conversations and people be, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a voiceover artist. Well, what's that? Yeah. You know? And then, and some of them will be like, they'll say, oh, what's that? And then they'll be like, well, do you do whatever this genre is? Do you do audiobooks? Do you do commercials? Like, or the other one, what have I heard you in? Well,
yeah, exactly. Nothing yet. Nothing of any
you may not have unless you work for XYZ company, because I did their phone system. Yeah. That sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to maybe join a pay to play at some point for the experience and to see how that works. I know lots of people, I think there's mixed opinions about P2Ps now because they're so competitive and, you know, the amount of competition that there is for every audition. You know, I sometimes hear there's hundreds of people applying for one job. Mm-hmm. So, but some people are making a living out of on P2Ps and they're doing well. They seem to be fortunate in being able to really home in on how to do an audition and get the job. Whereas others, they've been on a P2P maybe for years sometimes and they haven't got anything. So it really seems to be an individual experience. And I think it's just about you doing your best and seeing if, whether it works for you or not. So I think it's about finding what works for you as an individual and what feels comfortable. So some of us might just prefer the networking, whereas others are killing it on LinkedIn. And some of us just love auditioning all day long.
Right.
So finding what the right thing is.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's move over to discussing what this podcast is all about. So why are we doing it, Jessica?
Our thought was that we wanted to do something that we could share with other voiceover artists who are in their beginning stages, or maybe they're newbie twos, maybe they're newbie 4.5s or whatever. We had checked into other podcasts that are out there that are educational voiceover podcasts. And there are some really great ones out there. I listened to them and loved them. And what we noticed was that there wasn't a voiceover podcast that existed that we could find that had hosts who were at that newer level, right? These hosts have been in the industry for a while and they're talking about all these great things and teaching, and they've been through it, but it's been years ago. You know, now they're seasoned pros and that sort of thing. And so they're maybe at a different spot. And our thought was that we could provide some insight and that sort of thing for people just starting out from the same place where they're at, you know, and then also the fact that we are in two different countries makes for another fun part of it where you can kind of learn how things differ and how things are the same in different areas.
Well, that's brought in a few laughs already for us, hasn't it? Where we've sometimes not even understood each other.
Right.
You know, differences in vocabulary.
Even deciding how often we were going to publish this podcast. I think we were saying, well, how often do we want to do it? Well, I don't know, once a week, once every couple weeks. And Rami says, well, would you like to do it weekly or maybe every fortnight? And I kind of blankly stared at her and asked, what's a fortnight? Because I only know it as a video game. And she had to explain to me that a fortnight is a 2-week period. So I now know that fortnight means 2-week period. And I share that knowledge unabashedly with anybody who says that word. I'm like, hey, I know what that means.
Well, like that's part of your steep learning curve, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Vocabulary as well. It's happened on this end as well. There's often been times when you've said words and I didn't understand, but I just pretend I know what you're talking about.
Aww.
Like recently, actually, no, sometimes I do point it out. Recently, when you were talking about your hair, and you said something about bangs, and I was thinking, what's a bang? That doesn't make any sense to me. And then I think you explained a bang is a fringe, the hair at the front on the forehead.
Oh, yes.
So I learned something too, part of my steep learning curve.
Right. Yeah, see, I didn't know they were fringe, but I have heard that. Mm. I've heard fringe, so who knows? It could be me.
Jessica, how will this podcast be structured?
So we are going to have a weekly podcast, and our goal is to have the time of the podcast be, you know, somewhere between 20, maybe 40 minutes, like the time of a commute, you know, in case you're listening in your car or you just don't have a whole lot of time or something like that. This is our introductory meet the host sort of podcast. So our actual first episode that's about a particular topic will be next week. Between some of our episodes where we've, you know, picked a particular topic, we're actually going to have guest episodes where we have gone and interviewed other voiceovers who are newer in the industry, or maybe they're getting back into the industry in some cases, and they're going to tell us about their thoughts on those topics. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, I think they're great. Really exciting. We're going to have loads of information.
Yeah.
What else?
What kind of
topics?
We're going to cover what is a voiceover artist and how do you know voiceover is right for you? What kind of training is available and the struggle with it not being standardized, coaching and self-driven learning, the good, the bad, the ugly, genres of voiceover, demo reels. What else?
Which are also called voice reels or show reels, just to drop that in. We're going to be talking about why you need a demo reel or a show reel or a voice reel, and then what do you do with that? We're going to have a session on auditioning and handling rejection, which is obviously part of the reality of being a voiceover artist or any artist for that reason. We'll also talk about scams in the industry, and that's a sad part of the reality of the industry as well. And then we'll move on and spend some time talking about a day in the life of a voiceover artist and the pitfalls of working from home and marketing and so on and so on. And we'll also look at the differences in language. You know, we've given a few examples already in communication and the cross-cultural issues, because we're working globally now. It's no longer just staying in that few mile radius. We're actually communicating and working with agents and businesses across the world. So, you know, time differences, cultural differences, language differences. So that's exciting, I think. My previous job, I actually didn't have to go beyond 5 miles on a daily basis. Suddenly working with everyone, you know, thousands of miles away in all different situations. So it's just a complete shift, a complete absolute shift.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. All of these are going to be such interesting topics to explore. So if you're interested in giving us some feedback on some things that you would like to hear about, because we want to make this useful for you, go ahead and head on over to Facebook, go to the groups, and join our Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast group. And that's where you can tell us about what you want to hear about. So that's facebook.com/groups/voiceovergirlsacrossthepond. And don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
So thank you for joining us for this week's Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. We hope you'll join us again next time when we explore the topic of what is a voiceover artist and how do you know voiceover is right for you. So until the next episode, take care and goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. This is where we would normally shout out to our sponsors.
Rami, we don't have any sponsors yet.
I know, but if we did, this would be the shout out. Hint, hint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast.
And tell all your friends, your family, your neighbors, and everyone else.